This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
We're discussing a little bit about Asara B'Tevet, and we know that the beginning of the 6th century BCE, 6th century BCE, Yirmiyahu Navi, a very hard job. To be a Navi is the hardest job. It can be very satisfying and it can be very terrifying. Yirmiyahu Navi, if you read the story of Yirmiyahu Navi, Yirmiyahu Navi was one of the last prophets in the time of the First Temple, last prophet in the First Temple, and you had other prophets after him who were in exile. Yechezkel, Malachi, Ezra, Nehemiah, they came back. But Daniel. But Yirmiyahu was the last prophet who was at that scene, at the scene of the destruction of the First Temple, and that's why he wrote the book of Echa, warning for the First Temple. But he was the prophet whose job was to give Musar to the people to try and
repent,
try and bring them back. So he warned them for many years, 30, 40 years, he was warning them, repent. Yerushalayim is going to be destroyed. I see it. Don't, please repent. For the acts of idolatry, for the desecration of Shabbat, leaving the Torah. And then he said, if you don't repent, that's it. The Beit HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. And the king of Nebuchadnezzar, of Babel, is going to come and destroy Yerushalayim and take you all captive. You're going to be gone. That's it. When Yirmiyahu HaNavi, he mentioned the guts to do this in the middle of the Beit HaMikdash. He's saying this in the Beit HaMikdash, you're going to destroy it, the Beit HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. You're all going to be captive. You're all going to be taken away. The corrupted religious and political leaders got very angry. They perceived that he was saying this by himself. He was anti-establishment. They didn't care about anything else. So instead of listening to him, they tried to kill him. Imagine. Instead of listening to the prophet, already there was a prophet who was killed in the Beit HaMikdash. Who was killed in the Beit HaMikdash? Zechariah. One of the Zechariahs, the previous Zechariahs.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Zechariah was killed in the Beit HaMikdash.
Young people.
And the queen Atalia. You know, Atalia was the wife of. She was the daughter of Ahab and Isabel.
Oh, that's right.
She married into the southern kingdom, in the kingdom of Judah. She married them. And she was evil. She was real evil. She was one of the few queens we had. She killed all her children. Imagine, she tried to kill all her children.
Wow.
One son was saved by Jehoiada HaKohen Gadol. His name was Yoash. He was saved by hiding in the Beit HaMikdash itself. He was living in the Beit HaMikdash. His little kid was brought up in the Beit HaMikdash. Beit Tzadik, Yoash. As long as the high priest was there, he was a Beit Tzadik. Anyway, they killed eventually Ataliah, but she killed Zechariah in the Beit HaMikdash. And his blood was there bubbling. When it says blood was there, Gemara Gittin talks about the destruction of the First Temple.
I thought the Jews killed him.
The Jews killed him in the Beit HaMikdash. In the Beit HaMikdash.
What does that have to do with her? Though?
She was the queen. She ordered for him to be killed. She said, kill him.
Shalom made it happen.
Atalia. She the one who wanted him to be killed. Like her mother, Isabel, tried to kill Yahu Navi. Yahu Navi had to run away. So that's a little bit of history. But what do we see over there? We see that they didn't repent.
Oh.
They wouldn't repent. It's a trouble. The Jews are very, very
stubborn.
Huh? How do you know? We're going to read today. We're going to read.
Takes one to know one.
And we're going to read in the reading for the fast day. Am kashe oref hu. They're a very stiff-necked people. Very, very stubborn people. It's good and it's bad. The good part is we're still here today. You know why we're here today? Why we survive? Because we're stubborn. If Jews were easygoing, we wouldn't be here today, very easily. Everyone could kill us, destroy our religion, no problem, do it, go ahead. But Jews are very stubborn. So the good part of being stubborn is we're still here, we last. The bad part of being stubborn is even when we're told to do good things, we're stubborn as well. We're stubborn on both sides. If there'd be a decree today, all the Jews have to eat tereif, the Jews would rebel. Because we're stubborn people. If the decree would be you all have to work on Shabbat, no, we're not going to work. Stop it, just like that. Kacha. We don't. But since they're leaving us alone, we'll go with the flow. But if they tell us anything, we'll rebel. Jews are like that. They rebel. They like this tough. They're tough people. They don't listen to orders. So over here with Yirmiyahu, I was telling them, repent. It's like, you know, the guys in New York City, they stand over there, repent. The end is coming. Everyone laughs at them, jokes at them. Everyone made mockery of Yirmiyahu as well. So they defied him and they insulted him and they made a mockery of him. They said, how can Hashem himself tell his prophet to destroy his own house? You're telling us Hashem's going to destroy his house, but it's not our house, it's his house. Why would Hashem tell a Navi to destroy his own house? Doesn't make sense. It's a contradiction. You're his Navi and you're predicting that God's house is going to be destroyed. That's a contradiction. So what happened? On the 10th of Tevet in the year 589 BCE, Nebuchadnezzar began to besiege Yerushalayim. And there was lack of food and drought, terrible drought. It didn't rain, there was no food to eat. People inside ate grass. It was infested with worms and full of plague and disease. Just then, what happens? Ah, we're going to do Teshuvah. Now we're going to do Teshuvah. A little bit of glimpse. Tzidkiyahu, the king, and the Jewish leaders woke up and decided to do something about it. They remembered the words of Yirmiyahu. They met at the Beit HaMikdash, and they said, we're going to make a new covenant with Hashem. We're going to be a Bali Teshuvah. We're going to free our slaves. One of the demands Hashem had was, you know, every Shemitah, one of the laws of Shemitah is, the Jewish slaves have to go free. Otherwise, only if they want to. They want to stay behind. We love our master, we love our wife, we love our children. We're going to stay behind. Peers are pierced, and they stay behind. But Yovel, everyone has to go free. Kratem Dror Paret, the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia. It's named, that's called the Pasuk Kanim. Kratem Dror Paret, you'll call freedom of the land, that's where it came from. They think it's a bell, but it was a shofar, it wasn't a bell, it's a shofar. So that's why the Jews, they came along and they freed all their slaves. Psh, big thing, it was a big thing. The Jews freed their slaves, the Jewish slaves, they told them Jewish slaves. They did Teshuvah. They said, Hashem, we're going to free our slaves. You free us from the king of Babylon. Free us from the army of Babylon. So the poor individuals, these poor slaves, who couldn't afford to pay their loans, they were taken as slaves. You didn't come and pay your loan? Yalla, you come with me, slave, my slave. Your children, slaves. Everyone, slaves. That's what the rich people in those days did. Terrible sin, terrible sin. And here they're willing to free their slaves. So what happened? Miracle happened. Yirmiyahu gives us testimony of this great miracle. He writes in chapter 37, Pasuk 5, and Paro's army departed from Egypt to Jerusalem. When the Babylonians were besieging Jerusalem, heard that the Egyptian army was coming, they lifted the siege, and they went to fight the Egyptians. Miracle, look at the miracle. So listen, if you see a miracle like this, what do you think? What do you think if you saw a miracle? Hashem is amazing. We just did the Shavuot, a miracle. But these guys were like the guy, you remember the story of the guy, he's circling the block. He says, Hashem, let me find a parking spot. I'll go to Minyan, I'll pray, I'll do this. So never mind, I found one. Same thing over here. The siege was lifted. Ah, I don't need God now. Siege is lifted. It's fantastic. Take back our slaves. We need the slaves. We can't work without slaves. How can your house operate without slaves? Mm-hmm. Who's going to clean the floor? Who's going to make the food? Who's going to make the beds? Who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? I can't do it. I need slaves. They went and took the slaves back. I'm sorry, but are you sorry? Are you going to do it again? The person's got to think. You can't just do teshuva with your words. It's lip service. Does Hashem want your lips or Hashem wants your heart?
Both.
Very good. Ideally, both. But at least, what's the main thing?
Heart.
Heart. Yeah. Rahmana libabai, Hashem wants your heart, not your lip service. But if you say it as well, obviously that's better, because you're reinforcing it with words. But if you just think it without reinforcing, it's not as much. It's not great, but still something. So they do. They were all lip service. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll free our slaves. We'll do teshuva. We'll do teshuva. He goes away. We repent from our repentance. Oh, that's terrible. That's terrible. And that's why we fast today. We fast because of the destruction of Yerushalayim, which was started when they surrounded the city. And that's what the Beit Yosef says. It's the only fast you don't push off. You fast on Friday. You fast on Shabbat if it falls. Why? Because there's a Gzera Shabbat. Because the Navi says, Be'etzem hayom hazeh, on the midst of this day. It's the same language used for Yom Kippur. So just like Yom Kippur doesn't push aside Shabbat, it does push aside Shabbat, so too the fast of Asarah B'Tevet would push aside Shabbat. Just as before on Shabbat.
It never does.
Never does. Yeah. But it can fall on Friday. And we still fast till the end of Friday into Shabbat we fast.
Have you done that on
Friday? Of course.
How long ago?
A couple of years ago.
So you have to delay your Shabbat meal?
Yeah. No, you just finish. By the time you finish praying, it's already...
Siddur Kofim,
yeah. Because it's in the winter. No problem.
So based on what you're saying, if a person has a custom to fast on his parents' yard side, he cannot fast on Shabbat.
Exactly. No fasting on Shabbat. No fasting, even Hanukkah, no fasting. Imagine. You're outside. You can't fast on Hanukkah. No cemetery, no Hanukkah. Holamoid, no fasting.
No hesped.
No hesped.
There are people that have a custom to fast on Rosh Chodesh, right?
Erev Rosh Chodesh.
So you need, if it falls on a Shabbat, you cannot fast.
No. Can't fast on Shabbat, I told you. Only Tanit Halom, and Asara Betevet, and Yom Kippur. Three fast days, that's it. So Tanit Halom and Asara Betevet have very much in common. They're both preventative fasts. Amazing, beautiful. Usually fasting is not preventative, they're just remembering what happened. Over here, it's not just remembering what happened, it's also preventative. Okay. Because Asara Betevet, the city was surrounded, but nothing happened yet. We fast to do teshuvah, to prevent a new Korban. Simply the fast of Tani Chalom is to show it's something happening after dreaming. Hatam Sofer says, look at the Hatam Sofer. Hatam Sofer says, on Asra B'Tevet, Hashem decides whether there will be another Tisha B'Av.
On Asra B'Tevet?
Now, today.
He decides for a Tisha B'Av.
There's going to be another Tisha B'Av.
Meaning another morning?
Or yeah, another morning. Another morning. Oh, Yibanei Beit Midash, Bezrat Hashem. Today is the day. To decide, this is Yom Kippur for, this is the Yom Adin for Tisha B'Av.
But when the Babylonians stood outside the temple on Asara B'Tevet, they waited there for 2.5 years.
No, that was the second siege. That was the Roman siege. The Babylonians don't wait around. The Babylonians are tough.
They're Iraqi Chukchak.
They came and they went. They went to fight the war. And then they came back, second time. A couple of months, they broke through. A couple of months, that's it. The Chatam Sofer says every single year on Asara B'Tevet, the God decides that there will be another Tisha B'Av. This is a big Hiddush. Well, the Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are the judgment days. The judgment day whether there will be another Tisha B'Av is today. It's a very big Hiddush. Therefore, we have to think about how to treat others and deal with others. Because Sinat Hinam caused the destruction of the second temple. So what's so special about this day, Asara B'Tevet? Yechezkel says, Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, which is the same language used for Yom Kippur. That's what we learn out there. Asara B'Tevet can push Shabbat. That's where we learn from. So now we have a beautiful chiddush of the Yarot Midvash. Yarot Midvash was Rav Yonatan Eibeshitz. Have you heard of him? Rav Yonatan Eibeshitz. He was the same time as Rav Yaakov Emden. And they were, oh boy, they had a big machloket about Kamiot. Kamiot. Rav Yonatan Eibeshitz used to write Kamiot. It was just after Shabbatai Tzvi. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden accused him of being a Shabbatai Tzvinik. Terrible, terrible. God, a machloket. And the Chida comes from Israel and tries to make peace between them. Amazing. Anyway, Sefer Yarad Rash, he says, certain things that happen in creation have very strong impact. One of them was when Adam ate from the Eitz Hadaat. A tremendous impact on all creation. It impacted creation forever. Another example, he says, was Cain killed Hevel. I don't know how he worked this out. I don't know how he was there. How can say this? Only Gadol can come along and say this. He said the day that Cain killed Hevel was Asara B'Tevet. And that's when Hashem decreed on Cain Galut. Imagine. And that's when Hashem decreed on us Galut. Amazing. So it's like. So even going back on the earliest time of the calendar, there was a decree of Galut on Asara B'Tevet. And there's no coincidences. And the same thing we can say by Yosef, this week's parasha. Yosef and the brothers. And last week's, it's actually last Shabbat's parasha. That's what the brothers joined together. And that's what we need to do. On this day, we need to renew our bonds together and get along with each other. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen v'amen.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.